come. Give us the word.
How are we doing, Dan?
There.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay,
fantastic. Well, that was great praise and worship. Yeah. Jack, you did a great job on drums. You probably noticed that we're having another service in the children's church there. Pastor Tom is taking care of that and is going to be here for, or I think they're going to be doing something for a month in that stage. So we're real excited about the kids receiving great revelation for their lives, but especially for 2018 and beyond. Amen? And so we're excited about all of the good things that God is bringing on earth, and especially to us as earth men. Hallelujah. And it's good to see all of you. Happy New Year.
Amen.
We had a great New Year's Eve party. I thought it was a great bash, and I consider it was a fantastic start to the new year. Praise the Lord. Of course, the Lord continues to, in old times, He gives us understanding for the new times that we're entering into. And whether you're a business, if you're a business person, you're not going to be working on 2017, except maybe your taxes, but you're going to look forward to 2000, forward and forward to 2018. And so we have to realize that there's new seasons in our life, especially in Christianity, probably more in Christianity than even in the world that we live in. You know, because it seems to get to be quite a pattern if we look at pattern. You know, school pretty much gives us our summertime, and when they close, we kind of close a chapter and we move into a new place. And we go for 3-4 months laboring and working, and then school starts again, and then we all try to get back into place. And for myself, I think it's great. It kind of keeps me online. Where am I going? And you know, God's trying to keep us online and everything that we're flowing in as far as in the Spirit. Dave Wagner did have a prophetic utterance. There's about probably 4 or 5 pages for 2018. I haven't got to study it and review it, but I know that it's going to be very powerful. Another thought is we have the School of the Supernatural coming up here in February 20th to the 24th. Prophet Dave Wagner will be with us. We will have, you probably have noticed, but we will have endorsements from Bill Johnson, Heidi Baker. And we'll be advertising that throughout this period of time, getting people interested and ready. In fact, Dave Wagner is in New York, and I think he was in the Bronx, Manhattan, and there was another, Queens. And this was just been this weekend, and on Friday night he said there was 200 people on a Friday night in Queens is a place where they usually aren't coming out, but there's 200 people out to that meeting. And some great things are happening in the ministry. Again, if you will see and apply what you see, it's going to change your life. And so Dave's going to be with us, we have several different, you know, why not Heidi Baker? Why not Bill Johnson? You know, but why not Dave Wagner? It's a good thing that we're going to have that opportunity, and we're trying to plug in to the world that we live in. Not only our city, not only our, sometimes the city is the hardest thing to plug in, but we have a world, and God sent us to that world. Amen? And so today, I want to just start something. A thought is on the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And I've talked about this and I've preached about it, but I always was wondering, what's the deal with the 9 fruit of the Spirit and then what and the 9 gifts of the Spirit? And I always thought these things should line up, give some kind of understanding how we can work not only the fruit of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit. And I was thinking about that again this morning as I was preparing for this message, and I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. Here it is in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ has crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here's something that God has given us. And I was thinking, I said, okay, and I've mentioned this before, you could take the love, joy, and peace, and then you say, I don't want the rest of it. But it is a package plan. The fruit of the Spirit, you get it all, and you're wanting it all. Yeah. And I was asking the Lord, why do I want it all? And he said, because that is who I am in character. Yeah. You see, this is God in character. The fruit of the Spirit is God in character. And I want to start out on a source. You know, the source is God. You know, like we have the source of the Mississippi, and it's not very big in up in Itasca Park, but it is a source to a large, large river that runs all the way through our country. And so I was thinking that these nine fruit of the Spirit is the source that God has given us because that's who he is. That's his character. And you know, maybe what goes on, we're always looking for the gifts of the Spirit to be evident in our lives, or at least I'm always looking for gifts. I like gifts. But the fruit needs to come before the gifts. Because to flow in the gifts, your character needs to be in line with God's character. Amen? And he performed this. These nine things, God saying, this is who I am. I am love, joy, and peace. I am long-suffering. I am kind. I am good. I am faithful. I am gentle. And I have self-control. And you know what? Just in my life, all nine of those things, God has shown me from the very first day that I believed, he started working the fruit of the character of God in my life. Right? I mean, when you made that commitment, when you asked Jesus into your life, he began to work that character areas that he is into our lives. Before that, man, I was a loose cannon. I was dangerous. But when the Lord began to work that deal, I mean, you know, you say, oh, I knew all about love. I knew nothing about love. Oh, I knew everything about peace. I knew nothing about peace. But then I started looking at God. I started looking at his word. I started looking that God is the one that produces these great things in our lives. Amen? And you know, it was just by submitting, saying, God, come into my life. Give me the joy. Give me the peace. Give me the love. Give me the long-suffering. Lord, I want it all. Now, he's still working on me, and he's probably got some rough edges on you that he's still working on, which is great. Lord, work in me. Amen. Then we go on to 1 Corinthians 12:8. It says, for to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So these are the nine spiritual gifts. So we looked at God's character. And with that character, if we will walk out the character of God, we're not going to have difficulty flowing in the gifts of God. And so I was thinking about the ability of God. These nine things that God has listed in the gifts of the Spirit is the ability of God. God's ability to flow out, just like the source, to flow out into people's lives. Just like that small beginning, he was the source of everything, Itasca, and it flowed into a great river by the same Spirit. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God is flowing in those things. That's his ability. So where does our ability come from? The source and the ability of God in us is we're receiving everything that he has for us. So that's my ability. Do I have any ability of my own? Well, pretty much if I would have had a testimony, my testimony was I was out of control. You know, I was like, I was in an airplane that couldn't fly, but I was in the air, you know. It's crash landing time. But God, in all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge, he knew how to take a person from step one to step two to step three to step four to step five. I really believe that if you had 10 characteristics and the ability to grab a hold of 10 things and say, I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to walk in this all the days of my life. I believe that you would be very, very prosperous. Now, there's certainly more than 10 things that God has going than for our lives. I think in the first week of understanding what God was doing, there was a tremendous change in my inward man. You probably couldn't see it on the outside, but I certainly knew that God was working on the inside. So we're working with the character of God, and we're working with the ability of God. So many times today, we seek the gifts without first acquiring the fruit in our lives. We must have the fruit of the Spirit at work if we want God to entrust us with the gifts of the Spirit. So when we first step out in this deal, God is doing an overhaul on us. Amen? And I think that overhaul is a continuation of growth. You know, before you take off on the river of life, you need to go from point A, and if there was a point Z, which would be down in Mississippi, you know, New Orleans, there's the end of the river. But it's actually flowing into the ocean. So really, the rivers just flowed into an ocean. And I believe that's what God is doing in 2018, is we're in the river. And whether we are at the source of that river, but we're flowing someplace that is going to get to the end of that area into the ocean. And I really believe that God is so interested in the whole world that he has created, that he's going to be able to begin to speak to nations, and in one day's time, nations will be saved. And things that are happening that we look at in the natural, and people in the news media, what they say about what's happening is not really what's happening. When we hear about Pakistan and Afghanistan and these places, we're saying, oh boy, they're bad places. In fact, this last, right at the beginning of the year, the president said something about Pakistan in a very negative factual area because of some of their dealings that they're doing in their government. But the fact is, people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. People are growing in the grace and the mercy of God in Pakistan. Amen. And literally thousands and thousands of people. Remember Dave Wagner, what he said at the conference? He said there are more people being born again than being born on planet Earth. Amen. That's pretty cool. I mean, God's at work. You know, we sometimes think, well, God's not at work. God's at work. And he's working in these countries that have not heard the name of Jesus. And when they hear the name of Jesus, something will change in their inner man. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And I think maybe that's the stirring, the gifts of the stir of God in our lives need to come from the character and from the ability of God. And all we have to do is say, God, I'm here. God, use me. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to do what you told me to do. And you know, you think about the Word of God. The Word of God is prophetic. Amen? Amen. The Spirit of Jesus is the prophetic voice on the earth. And so when we grab the Word of God, we begin to read it, and we get these inherited words that really jump in our spirit. When we hear that I am more than a conqueror, I get all excited. I might not look more than a conqueror, but I know that God thinks that I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. And so if I run my fruit stand and go through my fruit, how am I doing in those areas? Because the character is so important. What ruins ministries usually is character. And I mean, if we just wanted to go to the scriptures, we could see just different things that tripped men and women up was a character flaw. Was maybe a lust in their life, maybe a battle that they were fighting. And God knows about it. You can't hide from God. But it was a character thing. And I really believe that God is working. He's not judging us. He's not tearing us down. But he's working with us so that we could grab the whole character of God through the fruit of the Spirit. And then we begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Do you want the Spirit of the prophetic in your life?
Yes.
Well, I certainly do. Do I want the Spirit of self-control in my life? I was out of control, but God came in and gave me control over so many different things in such a short time. Amen? And so if you think that you're out of control, I've got someone that can bring you into control. And you know, I know the earth and the system has all of these, you know, self-help things that could help you, and they probably would. But the ultimate fact is Jesus is in control. And if we would do his word, if we would act on what he says and what he has given us through the fruit of the Spirit, we're acting like God. When God speaks to us and we speak to another person, that means God spoke. Amen? So we start looking at the correlation of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. First of all, the word of wisdom. And across from the word of wisdom is love. Okay? So you look at the word of wisdom. What did God do at the very, very first thing for people on planet Earth when Jesus came? He brought us to, they preached it, disciples preached it, John the Baptist preached it, repentance. It means to turn and go another direction, go another path, get on a right deal. That's the word of wisdom. Right away, I grabbed that. I said, man, I need that. I really need it. And so we find out that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. The greatest wisdom that anyone could do was the wisdom of God to bring us to a born-again experience. Amen? I'm born again. I'm born from above. Jesus has taken me out. I'm dead, and now I'm alive in him. I've been buried, and I've been crucified and buried and resurrected with Jesus Christ. What do I look like? Who am I? And this is what Jesus said. This is who you are. And I'm going, wow, I like that. Through a word of wisdom. And throughout your Christian experience, if you would talk to each person that is willing to say, I'm desiring to go further into God, you'll start connecting with them. Say, yeah, that's what happened to me. This is what happened. Because it was a word of wisdom, because God loves you so much. And the proof is in the pudding. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. Wow, the only one that could straighten it out. The plan of redemption was he was the only one. The only way to straighten anything out was that God sent Jesus because he loved you so much. Hallelujah, I love that. The word of wisdom is supernatural, disclosed the mind, purpose, and the way God as applied to a specific situation. If we have wisdom of God, then we must have love, for God is love. If you search for the first gift of the Spirit, you must possess the first fruit of the Spirit. So you start thinking about it, okay, if he's love, then I'm going to have the Spirit of wisdom because he showed me his love. That's why we don't have to, okay, somebody said, well, why does people preach about hell? Well, that's not God's sermon, you know, to bring people to Christ. It's hell. It's just the truth that there is a place called hell that I don't want to go to. And there's a place called heaven that I desire to go to. Amen? And he explains both areas. He's not, I don't think you could scare people. You could probably bring some fear of the Lord onto people to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to go there. But the ultimate is God loves us. And that's his wisdom and his understanding. Amen? Then we think of the word of knowledge. Now, how many people like a word of knowledge? I like a word of knowledge. Okay, how many people have received a work? And I'm not talking about prophecy. I'm talking about a word of knowledge. Most all of us have heard, wow, that's knowledge from God. Right. And if we just looked at our everyday life, God has the knowledge to give us that brings great joy to us. You know, for 3 months, God was changing me and rerouting me and giving me understanding. But after 3 months, I could find out that I was not a curse anymore, but I began to be a blessing. And that made me very joyful. That made me very joyful. I was tested this morning. I was waiting, of course, it's 15 to 10, and anything that's going to happen could happen at 15 to 10 to keep you away from church. But the fact is, there was a lady that was walking by, and she was going to cross the tracks, and she was walking home, and she fell down. And I was watching all this. Well, it's 1:45, and da, 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 da. Well, of course, you know, ding. And she couldn't get up. And she was on the track. She was on the railroad track. I live right next to the tracks. Not on the main one, but on the secondary. And I was going, okay. I jumped out of the vehicle. I run over, and I was trying to get her out. And Sandy come out of the snowbank because she had fallen down. And we got her up, and we got her to the pickup to get her into the pickup. You know, I said, you know, after we did that, that brought great joy to my life. But I could have just said, well, hey, I have to go to church. You know what I mean? The very thing that God is trying to teach us, and here this happens right in front of you, and it always happens at 15 to 10, or 10 to 10. But you know what? This girl needed help. And you know what? Where she fell down, there's not a lot of people around there that could see her. She would have laid there, could have laid there for a couple hours. Thank God that God has changed us. And it brings great joy into my heart that God has changed us. Amen. I remember Pastor Jim had a young man in worked with him at Snappy's in Detroit Lakes. And this young man had headaches. And he started getting headaches. And Jim went up to the hospital. And I guess he had been using drugs and some different things. So the people at the hospital, the nurses and doctors thought, well, maybe he's just coming down off of drugs. So Jim come and Darwin Soaring and myself were somewhere that Jim come and said, would you come and pray with this guy? I prayed with him, and he asked Jesus into his life. But I want to make sure. So, of course, it's 15 to 7 again. We're going to church Thursday night, victory night. We don't want to miss church. But we were faithful to hear the cry of what Jim was saying, and we went up there, and the guy again got gloriously renewed and said, Jesus is real. Jesus. So he accepts Jesus Christ into his life. He gets so excited, he's calling the gal that he's living with. He calls her and he said, you wouldn't believe what happened. I gave my heart to Jesus. And so we were pretty excited. We were filled with joy. Okay? The word of knowledge brings joy. And so with Jim's word of knowledge about that situation, we got to be part of that. And when we left that hospital that night, we were so joyful. We were so happy. Salvation is exciting. Amen. The word of the Lord is exciting in our lives. So at 15 to 8 the next morning, this man passed into heaven. He died. Yeah. He passed into heaven. Now, I want to tell you about joy. I want to tell you about the fruit of joy. What I never had before, in a short time, maybe a year, 9 months of Christianity, I got to experience the joy of the Lord. because someone, a saint, had moved into heaven because someone was obedient to do what God has called us to do. It brings great joy to your heart. So we find out how the word of knowledge and joy works together. Hallelujah. Then we look at faith. And faith is an important part of the whole thing, believing. You know, believing that God can accomplish whatever he needs to accomplish. How many people have faith? Okay, how many people use faith every day? Okay, I would say if you're a Christian, I would say that you use faith. You might not use faith in every situation, but I would say that you use faith every day. And faith is a fantastic thing, because when you believe in God and ask what you will, then God, it's like you're releasing something into God, into the character and into the ability of God. If we don't bring up the situations, we just say, our response is, I hope something happens. You know, I hope somebody does something. I hope the person gets help. Well, the help is in the name of the Lord. The help is in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. And you know what it does? It produces peace. When I began to believe God, it was like, wow, faith began to produce faith. Shunda, peace. So we have this faith, and you go into peace. You know, before I gave my life to Christ, in business, I would sit at the telephone and wait for someone to call me. Just like the telephone, hey, telephone, have somebody call me so I could have a job or get a job. I had no peace. And after Christ stepped in and I began to have faith in God, the ability of God, I took all my bills. Jacob had just been born, and it was a real struggle in our lives. We owed something like $150,000, and back then it could have been just, $2 million. But the fact is, you know, God gave us peace. But we did something. We took all of our bills, and we threw them on the ground, because somebody told us that's what we do. And we threw all them bills on the ground, and then we went and we stomped on those bills. Now, how many people have done that lately? Including myself, I shouldn't raise my hand. But you know what? When you do something, God does something. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's why he said that these nine things hook up with these nine things, and when you start using them, it works. It works. In every aspect, it works. And the world that we live in saying, you're going to have all other sources before you go to that source to get it to work. But the first thing that we should do is saying, God, you're not out of control. The very first day that I believed, when peace began to come in to rule, I said, these bills, I didn't worry about it anymore. It was the peace of God. It was taking over. The fruit of the Spirit, we needed that. We needed the peace of God saying, okay, God, you're in control. And after that, you just walk away. Praise the Lord. It sounds like you're kind of just throwing it all on to Jesus. You are. You are. I mean, like I said, those financial areas, I could have never recovered in any way in my mind and trying to make it happen. But in a very short time, like a year and a half, 2 years, we were debt free again. Or at least, well, we had some payments. I shouldn't say debt free, but we had some payments. But all that burden was off of us when I gave the Lord and did things that made sense in the kingdom. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first, not second, third, fourth, and fifth. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of these other things will be added onto you. Boy, what a powerful thought. Just saying, I'm going to seek you first in this, God. I'm going to study to show myself approved, a workman that will not be ashamed of what God is teaching on the earth today. Wow. And you know, it's so cool when you can step out from faith into peace. La ta 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 ta. Such a wonderful deal. I remember when we would go to work and we actually worked in the Spirit of the Lord. And people would come and they'd say, what are you guys into anyway? What are you on? What are you into? Yes, well, we're on Jesus and we're trying to get into him further. Hallelujah. I remember Charlie Walker running up the bank of a, we had dug a hole and we were pouring a basement and we were praising and worship. Jim was there and myself and Charlie. And Charlie was so excited. And, you know, Charlie, the truck driver pulled in. We're going to pour this footings, I believe it was. And so we get the truck driver. He didn't have a chance. Charlie Walker. If you know Charlie Walker, he's a good talker. And he run up that bank, and he was in the guy's face. Do you know that Jesus? And then he pointed to Jim, and he said, Jim, tell him about Jesus in your testimony. It was powerful. It was powerful. Scared the truck driver right out of his mind. But you know what? If somebody wouldn't have said something to that truck driver, he would have never had, at least from that point, he would have never had that encounter. It was a powerful encounter. And I don't know what went on with the truck driver after that, but it was a powerful encounter. And you know what? I really believe that in Revelations where it says, do not lose your first love. Right. Do not lose your first love. And sometimes I think what we've experienced in the past, we kind of lose it and we're out there. But God wants us in. These are package plans for the ability of God and the character of God. And both of them are perfect. Both of them are pure. Both of them are holy. Everything that comes with these packages, we should desire. We should desire to prophesy. We should desire to have a word of wisdom. We should desire to have a word of knowledge. We should desire to walk in faith. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm preaching a lot better than you're responding. Hallelujah. Glory Hallelujah. To God. Hallelujah. Because God's so good.
Yes.
And he sent all these things from heaven to earth. And to earth man to change us so that we are like him in the image and likeness of Almighty God. What an identification that we carry on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So then, how about healing? Anyone loves healing? Okay. So I love healing. And from healing comes long-suffering. Well, what do you mean long-suffering? Well, sometimes my wife has been quite sick this last week. And she her cough is just nuts. And if you've heard her cough, it's terrible. And my long suffering was just it's just right on the end. I'm just going, gee, could you do anything about that cough? Well, when you're coughing, you can't do anything about it. But God's doing something in me. He's working long suffering in me. He's working compassion in me. He's working something. Hey, do you really love her? Well, right now I don't. Could you stop coughing? You know, it's like the joke. You know, the coffin comes down the hill. The coffin goes out, hits the drugstore, and the guy in the coffin comes up, and he says, do you got anything that could stop this coffin? You know, I mean, long-suffering's not easy, but it's required because God is long-suffering. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so... so we find out that God is so long-suffering, and healing takes long-suffering. Healing takes more than a miracle. A miracle goes like that. Praise God, I got a miracle. But when you have to long-suffer, when you're fighting the good fight of faith, when you're saying, my healing is on my, I'm being healed and I'm going to be healed, it takes faith. It takes long-suffering, and then healing will come. But you have to do something. You have to speak it forth. I am healed. I am whole. Jesus Christ paid the price against sickness so that I could walk in divine health. Amen? He took that upon himself. And so we walk in divine health. When you say that, that just makes the devil so upset that he might send another little note. No, that isn't real. That is not true. The Word of God is not true. The Word of God is true. And I do believe that I am been healed, going to be healed, and in future time, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, amen. And I'm going to be healed at that time also. Because we're a mortal being that we have to use faith, amen, to get a healing, and faith brings us into peace. Yeah. So, okay, well, I have this problem. And if it's a major problem, you can lose faith pretty easy, especially if you got people around you that say, hey, you know, you should do this, this, and this. And all three of them have nothing to do with God. Amen? And so I want healing. I want healing from God. God, I call upon you to, when I lay hands on the sick, I want people to call this place a healing place. Darla, I want you to be healed. And I know that you just got your disability, but you know what? I want you healed. I want you whole. I want you to live when you're 90 years old. You say, yeah, I had problems back there right around 60, but God's healed me. Hallelujah. And so we can long suffer. We long suffer with each other. My wife, for a whole week, I am so glad she's healed. Now, I don't know if I got my upgrade on the long suffering, but I'm glad she's healed. And I'm sure that I'm going to get an opportunity sometime with another person to see how I'm doing on my long suffering. And so I know how to pray. God, give me long suffering. Give me more long suffering. Lord, let me suffer long. However long, help me, Lord, that I can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about the working of miracles? How many people want to do some miracles? Hallelujah. Well, we don't believe in the miracles. That happened back in the disciples' days. How foolish is that? What are you saying? You mean it happened back in the disciples' days and not going to happen now? I want to see miracles in this life. And you know what? Miracles is connected up with kindness. You know, so you got the fruit of the Spirit, you got the gifts there, and it's hooked up to kindness. When you get a miracle, somebody's been kind. Somebody's looked at you and say, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to see a miracle. When that prayer goes in, then you just say, it's there. And when you see it, does it make you excited? Hallelujah. It energizes all the gifts and all the fruit of the Spirit when those miracles happen. Amen? Prophecy. How about prophecy? You like prophecy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Danny. And the Spirit of the Lord would say that I have called you to this calling even in 2018, and I am moving you into position in a supernatural way in the days ahead, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm going to begin to work in you a new season and a new time in your life, and that you're going to walk and you're going to run, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I have anointed you even at this time for the greatness of the ministry for this day and for this hour, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm going to raise up your ministry time into a greater position that has ever been, saith the Spirit of the living God. When you hear that, what goes on? You go, wow, God's so good. And so it's connected with the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Wow, it's so good, the goodness of God. Don't look at what people say about you, what the world says about you, what any other thing says about you. Look what God thinks about you and says about you. His goodness is for you. Amen? Yes. Bethany, amen? Yes. Hallelujah. We could kill ourselves with our testimonies. Before and after. You know, we've been through some hard times. We've been through some rough places before and after. But you know what? The goodness of God keeps us here. I remember the prophetic word about 3 years ago is that we're still alive. Thank God I'm still alive. That's the goodness of God. Well, apparently we thought we were at the edge of getting killed. Praise God. So prophecy, when a prophecy comes, it changes our lives, it changes the ability that God has given us. What a wonderful deal. Take a look at all of the men and women in the Bible about these character areas. Take a look at David when he had to fight Goliath at 14, 15 years old. Just think of what he had to take. But the prophetic word that was given to David, again, he rose up, believed the prophetic word, and he knew that he was going to be king, and Goliath was not going to kill the king before he become king. Amen? So the prophetic word held tight on his life because of the goodness of God. You know, this throughout the scriptures, if you take the scripture understanding from New Testament to Old Testament, it's always that God has tried to do. And usually he's the one that's encouraging us. Was David? David, he had to fight the bear, the lion, and do some of these things before he was going to fight Goliath. Joseph, he didn't believe that he was going to be the second in command of Pharaoh's army and all that Egypt was demanding on him, but he became that. He believed the word of God. Said to suffer for 14 years, but he believed the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. How about discerning of spirits? Hallelujah. The fruit of that is faithfulness. Stay in there. You say, oh, that person's got a devil. Oh, great. That's good discernment. But what are you going to do with it? Sometimes we think, well, the major problem is that's in the person. So then if that's the major problem, get it out of the person. All right? To discern a spiritual force and to do something about it is two different things. Hallelujah. It takes faithfulness. I'm going to pray for that person. Start in a prayer. I'm going to go and if I get a chance in the service, I'm going to go and pray for that person. Maybe I'm going to call them up during the week and him or her, they're struggling in this one area, that one place. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get a relationship with that person. See, that's what it's all about. Amen. Now, if I don't go and check up on this lady again that fell on the tracks and she was on something, and it wasn't Jesus, but she was on something. But you know what? That was a deal for me this morning. She didn't come just down any track. She didn't go over in somebody else's yard and fall in a railroad track. She was in my yard, fell in a railroad track. And so that, I really believe, is an opportunity to see the faithfulness of God in his area. Different kinds of tongues. Now we're into tongues. Hallelujah. How many people want to have tongues or have tongues? How many people want to have tongues? Okay. Well, all right. And we're not going to have a service on baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you want it, you can have it today. Amen. And so here we think of different kinds of tongues is gentleness. You know, in the days that we live in, you know, you say, do you have tongues? What do you mean? What do you mean I have tongues? Do you have tongues? What does that mean? Of course I got tongues. I'm talking right now. My tongue is dangerous. But the fact is, tongues is not anything except a manifestation of God's glory and in his faithfulness, he's gentle in it. You know, get the Bible. Come on over here, Frank. Bang, bang, bang. Speak in tongues. I'm going, man, that's not gentle. Why do you think Pentecostal people get this weird, wild way of people talking about them? They deserve it. I mean, I know who they are. And at different times in my own life, I probably would have been a Bible pounder on someone's head. But the fact is, different kinds of tongues takes gentleness. You know, hey, you remember Apollos, a great teacher, and was it Priscilla and Aquila went, and she said, have you been, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was, have you been filled with the Spirit? It was kind of on that order. And he said, well, I didn't even realize there was something like that. But he was a great teacher right at that time. Priscilla and Aquila sat down and explained in gentleness how to enter into this thing. And he received it and he went on. I'm sure he became even greater. A greater minister of the gospel. But it wasn't by pounding something in the ground to hurt them instead of say, hey, God, this is what it's all about. I'm going to be gentle in that. And finally, we look at the interpretation of tongues. Now, there's a tongue that God gives you as far as your prayer language, and you can get together and you can pray, and it's really a prayer language to the Father. And you can use that for building up. And another thought is when you come into a church, if everyone is speaking in tongues, it would cause a lot of confusion. What are they saying? What are they doing? Da-da-da-da-da-da. But the fact is, if you come into believers and you knew that everyone was believers and that you would pray in the Spirit with believers, then that is really just exercising and building yourself up in your holy faith. But the ninth gift is interpretation of tongues. So if there is a word come forth in tongues, there needs to be an interpretation of tongues so that you're not bringing confusion. And it's not easy sometimes. And it's interesting what it says for the fruit of the Spirit there, or fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Usually if we get someone speaking in tongues, you know, they scream something out and you're going, oh my God. You know, and it's usually somebody probably that has been two months in the Lord or 2 years in the Lord, but really don't know too much. I want someone, if they're going to bring forth a prophetic utterance in tongues, I want the most solid person in the church if possible. Now, I'm not saying that that happens all of the time, but if you're going to have something like that that would bring so much confusion in the body of Christ, I'd rather have it with someone that is very stable. God gave me that word. God gave me that word in tongues. Now, if he didn't give you the interpretation, then you're out there. You're out in faith. But after he gives you the interpretation, you're so happy because somebody else across the room or across the auditorium, they have the prophetic word for that tongue. And so we have to realize that these are the love ability of God to us and the character of God in called the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that good? He's so good. And this is God. This isn't, I mean, the wisdom of God. I had none of these things. You know, tongues, like, what is that? But God teaches us, and he's patient with us, and he loves us, and he cares for us. And throughout the earth, God is bringing wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to the body of Christ. And so you just need to look up and say, thank you, God. I know that your fruit is good, and I'll eat of it every day of my life. And the gifts that you have sent me, I'm speaking for the heavenly places that you have called us to. Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand up for a moment? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There are two packages that God wants to increase in our lives are the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And those nine, they come together and they intercross together and you can grab them and who knows what's going to happen in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. Father, we